Is that better? A few weeks ago, it was Easter, about a month ago. As many of you know, we had some really great Holy Week and Easter services. And in the Maundy Thursday service, I was up on the stage. I was helping to lead. I was doing some readings and reflections and scripture readings along with other people. So I was doing some of them, but I was also listening to the other ones. And one was done, and I heard it, and it just got to me. It was a passage that I'd heard many times before, but it just stuck with me. And so then I kept rereading it over the next several days through Easter. And this passage that I'd heard so many times spoke to me in this fresh way. It's from John 13. It's the passage where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. I've heard that passage hundreds of times, or read it. But I was reminded in some fresh way as it kept being laid on my heart of something, this new angle on our Jesus. Who our Jesus is, and then who we're called to be because of that Jesus. And so I hope that today, you know, if you've heard this passage 100 times like me, or maybe you haven't, that God might still speak to us in a fresh way today. So this is from John 13. We'll pick up in the last part of verse 2. It says, "And during the supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off His outer robe, and tied a towel around Himself. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around Him." So as I said, I've heard this passage a lot. And you know, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. And this is your first time hearing this passage. But I think there's a lot here of who Jesus is and then who we are in this short story, what seems such a simple story of Jesus. And so this passage reading, the reflection reading, was in the midst of the service that remembers and reflects on the journey of Jesus in his last days before the passion of the cross. And so Jesus gets down and washes the disciples' feet. Now, I asked the earlier service, as I was trying to make this connection, how many of you washed your feet? But I was like, no, we don't want to ask this, because some people may not actually bend down and wash your feet. So instead I asked, when's the last time you went to someone's house and your feet got washed? I was waiting on somebody to raise your hand, because I was going to try to figure out the context of that, because that's weird if that happened. Because it's not something that we do. It's not. But think about this world that they're living in, a first century world. They're walking on roads, dirt roads, and these roads get used a lot. They get used by people who have donkeys and cattle who leave nice big surprises on the road. And you may not miss them all. And they wore open-toed sandals most of the time. So their feet were pretty gross after a journey. Even after just a short journey, but they have been on a long journey here. And so their feet were pretty gross, and they were at the table together. And as they come to the table, their tables were low, and most of the time they sat on like pillows, mats, or something like that, or like a small little platform, if anything. And they would, it says, you know, we read scripture, it says they were reclined at the table. It's because they reclined at the table. They kind of laid over on their side. And rested on an arm. And so, I mean, their feet, they were kind of up there, kind of near everybody. Up in everybody's business, near the table. So washing those gross feet was important. And so it was customary, it was normal for the host to provide water and a towel and often a slave to wash the dirt from the guest's feet. And what we see in this passage is that is the role that Jesus takes. Jesus takes the role of slave. remember what's going on in this storyline, in the full context of this passage. Jesus, just a short time before, had the triumphal entry, you know, as we call it. Jesus being brought into Jerusalem and brought in as victor, as they were believing, and they were shouting that he was going to be the one to bring them to victory. And they were waving palm branches and they were shouting, "Hosanna," because this is the one who's going to win it for us. And even the disciples, they were right there with them because they had seen Jesus do some stuff. And so as they were bringing Jesus in, they were like, yes, he's going to be the one. Jesus is coming and he's bringing it. And they weren't wrong. We just celebrated Holy Week and Easter and we looked through that. They weren't wrong. But Jesus, God, had a different understanding of victory. Of what victory would look like and how Jesus would accomplish that than most of the people had. But still, that's their context of what they're seeing and experience. And then we see that Jesus takes this role of slave. It's Jesus who they saw do miracles and do all these great things and heal people and calm storms and talk about life in the kingdom of God. That Jesus who takes on the role of slave to wash their feet. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense to them. But Jesus often said some things that didn't make a whole lot of sense to them, that baffled them. One's from the Gospel of Matthew. You've probably heard this one. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. In this culture that they live, life very heavily revolved around the concepts of honor and shame. Of gaining honor for you and your family to elevate yourself and avoiding shame, again, to elevate yourself. So it brings honor to succeed in life, right? To have a social status and good financial wealth, that brings honor. That you are seen as more worthy, more valuable. Winning a conflict or an argument brings honor. But on the other side of that, failure brings shame. Bankruptcy, poor education or poor social status brings shame. Losing a dispute brings shame. It brings shame to be slapped in public. It brings shame to be found guilty of something and then being forced to pay a fine. It brings shame to be forced by an enemy to walk a mile just to carry his baggage. And if those things happen to you that bring shame, then you're a loser. You're less than. But not just you, your family as well. And nobody wants to be a loser, right? No one wants to be seen as less than. So Jesus says all of that. He says, turn the other cheek if somebody slaps you. Give more than what's requested. Walk another mile. And he gets down to wash the dirt off their feet himself. What? It doesn't make any sense. And they would hear this, and even we hear this, and we think, what? It doesn't make any sense that Jesus would call us to do those things or would do this thing himself by washing our feet. But the good news is that Jesus doesn't call us to be a loser. Jesus doesn't call us to be doormats when things are pressed upon us. Jesus is totally rewriting the game. He's saying that this stuff doesn't make you a loser. It doesn't make you less than because we're not even playing the same game, y'all. This idea of honor and shame and value and worth is not how God's kingdom works. And so Jesus dresses as a slave to serve them. He's totally uprooting their understanding of what it means to serve one another and what is truly honorable. And so they're trying to comprehend what's happening here. And like we see many times, Peter kind of becomes the sounding board for the whole group. It says in verse 6, Peter says, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." And so then Peter says, "Well, wash my whole body, wash everything." And what we see is now Jesus is shifting what's happening here, bringing the focus on that Jesus brings cleansing. But far beyond just washing their feet, Jesus brings salvation. Jesus offers new life and that is free from the dirt of this life. And He's telling them about this new way to live where we aren't even playing the same game as everybody else. This new life that comes through cleansing of the old. It comes by salvation from above. Comes by baptism with the Spirit of God. John Wesley, if you're unfamiliar with John Wesley, he's who we call the founder of Methodism. He's a man who just truly sought God and tried to devote his life to living for God and then helped other people do the same. But he was preaching at this one church for a time, and he had this one experience late one night. He was on his way home. And he was robbed. So a thief came up and robbed him. And apparently the thief only got like a little bit of money. And then some Christian literature, some pamphlets and stuff. But the thief was going to walk or run away. And John Wesley stops and says, "Wait, I have something more to give you. My friend, you may live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." And that's from 1 John. But he said those words hoping that maybe they would be a seed or God would use them in some way, who knows, to encourage this man. And he kind of forgot about it and moved on. And it was a couple of years later. John Wesley had preached at a service one Sunday. And then afterwards, there was a guest who was there. And so this guest comes up and they start talking. It turns out this guest is that thief from those years ago. But now this man had come to know Jesus and his life was going in a very different direction now as he was following Christ. He was a successful businessman. And he looks at John Wesley and he says, "I owe it all to you," from that experience that night. But Wesley responded to him, "Oh no, my friend. Not to me, but to the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin." That's what Jesus is showing the disciples here. Showing us that Jesus, the victor who's come to deliver and bring life, bends down as a slave to cleanse us, to offer us renewing and redemption, to offer salvation and grace. But then he goes on to try to help them understand more. In verse 12, he says, "After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, 'Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you.'" Jesus is turning their world and our world upside down with this understanding of value and worth and honor and shame. But then He invites us to be a part of it. He invites us to be a part of this crazy thing that He's doing, that He's talking about, as He bends down to change us with washing, with cleansing. He gives example of how we're then to do it. Stephen Neal, a Christian leader from several decades ago, in some of his writing, said, "We all have some dying to do, but Jesus showed us how it should be done." Jesus shows us how to do it and even says it. Not only does He do this amazing thing of offering cleansing, but He then invites us to be a part of it. Jesus shows us what the kingdom of God looks like and then says, "Now, do as I have done. Do as I have done." What does that look like? How do we do that? Because if I went up and started washing somebody's feet now, that would be real weird. So how are we supposed to take God's Word here in this experience with Jesus and have God's Word speak into our lives today? Well, I think from Jesus here, we can see a couple of practical things to do as He has done. And the first one is Jesus calls us to see people. To see people. You know, He takes on this role of servant and slave to wash their feet, but for who? Like, why does He? It's not just to do it, just to do it. It's for the disciples. It's to serve the disciples. It's for them. It's a call of humility that Jesus dresses as a slave here, takes out His outer robe, and then puts on the towel to be dressed as a slave. But He didn't just put down His identity or His status or who He was. He's still teacher. They're still students. He is God. They're humans. He even reminds them of that in their conversation. But even still, Jesus washes their feet, and it gives a clear message to them and to us that nobody can claim that you are too good or important to serve others. If Jesus, teacher and Lord, nobody can claim they're too good or important to serve others. It's about others. It's about seeing people. It's a call for humility, but not the kind of humility that plays down who we are and thinks little of yourself. You know, woe is me. That's not humility. I've heard humility defined as this: not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less often. Not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less often. Because we get in this idea, oh, I'm being humble and woe is me. Oh, I'm nothing. What's still about you? It's not about you. That's what Jesus is saying here. It's about others. It's about seeing people around you. And then when we see people, then we can have compassion, as Jesus so often did. When we're seeing people around us, then we start to see situations. We start to see what's going on. And I think that's another thing, is that Jesus calls us also to see problems. When we see the people, then we start seeing their situations, we start seeing the problems around us. So when they're here for this meal, no one had gotten anybody to wash their feet. Nobody had lined that up. None of the other disciples were jumping up, "Oh, I'll do it, I'll wash everybody's feet." Nobody was jumping up to do that because nobody wanted to do that. That was something that was looked down upon. It would brought shame. But Jesus saw the problem and then He went to meet that need. There's plenty of excuses, though, for us to, turn a blind eye. But even if we see the problems, to not meet that need. You know, it didn't matter here that it wasn't Jesus' job or that it was below Jesus, as we would also agree. Yes, that's something that is below Jesus. It didn't matter. Jesus still went to meet that need. It didn't matter that Jesus had a whole lot going on right now. He's about to bear all the burdens of humanity through His suffering and through the cross. There's a lot going on in Jesus' mind right now. Oh, surely someone else will take care of that. I got a lot going on right now in my life. Does that sound familiar? There's always plenty of excuses we have, but all of those things didn't matter here. Even though Jesus faced this inevitable suffering and death of this earthly life, He had concern, but as as we see, this concern was not for himself. It was on serving the disciples. It was on serving other people. When Jesus, God incarnate, steps into this role of slave to wash the disciples' feet, He calls us to live a life of humility and service to others. Do as I have done. So when we think of Jesus and salvation, we too often focus on ourselves. Yes, God sent Jesus to earth to provide for us salvation. That Jesus endured suffering and death and overcame. But for what? To cleanse us. To wash us. From what? To wash us from the game that the world is playing. The way of the world that says, you're good enough if you've got money or if you've got this or you do this or look like that or you live in this place. The game that the world is playing says that real satisfaction lies in temporal things, that it lies in what you can summon from within or what you can accomplish by your hand. So we like this idea of God cleansing us of our mistakes, of our sins, of our past. But many times we still want to keep the dirt on our feet. We want to continue to live in the way of the world that is focused on self. Self-gratification and self-efficiency, self-righteousness. But that is what God has cleansed us from, the way of this world. Jesus came and turned everything upside down. He rewrote the game. A total new way of life. But are you still playing the old one? You still playing by the old rules? Because you're going to lose. That's what the world's game is built upon. And it depends upon you losing. But God calls us to something that is totally different. God washes the dirt and gunk away that holds us in captivity and then invites us into a new way that is far greater than this world could ever possibly offer. If you haven't known that cleansing that Jesus offers, it's offered to you today. Jesus bending down and into the role of slave to offer you redemption. But also then inviting you to be a part of something more. There's a couple of prayers in your message notes. Maybe you've never accepted Christ. There's a prayer to help guide that. Our prayer usher would be more than happy to pray with you if you'd like to come to the altar. But there's also another prayer there. That if you have known that cleansing, but you're still hanging on to some of that dirt onto your feet, that God also calls us into a new way of living. Do as I have done, Jesus says. Do as I have done. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise You. We give thanks that You come to us to offer healing, to offer cleansing. God, we praise You. God, we ask for Your power, Your Spirit to fill us as we then seek to live in Your ways, to live in Your grace, to do as You have done. God, empower us as we seek to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen.